on Hebrews chapter 3, the passage that was read to us earlier. And every time that I find myself recently taking an interest in Hebrews, and every time that I read it, I discover that the reason why we have the book of Hebrews is because the Jewish Christians, they were on wobbly legs. Their faith was waning, and it was necessary for the apostle to write the book of Hebrews and to inform them of things that had happened before and to tell them where they are and what they need to do as far as the Lord is concerned. So the passage we read is only part of the whole picture which was created by the apostle to these Jewish Christians who were on wobbly legs, so to speak. And the topic for today is guard your heart from unbelief.
Yes.
Guard your heart from unbelief, based on what is there in the scriptures. Now, a simple definition of unbelief is the absence of faith.
Yeah.
Unbelief and faith cannot live in the same place. The absence of faith introduces unbelief. And I'm saying to all of us here today, I trust that we have replaced unbelief with faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word tells us that we must have faith in God. In fact,
amen.
The word tells us even more, that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So wherever there is unbelief, there is the absence of faith. And to all of us who are here, I trust that unbelief is something that has gone out of the window for us, and it is replaced with faith, committed faith, strong faith, working faith, living faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because we are going to discover where the absence of faith was, unbelief create problem for the people of God.
Yes.
And so there are three safeguards. As we look in this passage, there are three safeguards that the apostle would have us have, so as to God help us guard our mind from unbelief. And the first safeguard that we're going to look on through this passage is to be found in verse 7, the first verse that was read. And it reads like this: Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if ye will hear his voice, and I read verse 8, harden not your heart, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. The first safeguard, in order to guard our heart from unbelief, is to listen to the voice of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Brethren, I want to tell you that it is so important as Christians that we understand the arrangement that has been made for us through divine providence. In St. John chapter 16, we are told in verse, I think 14, where it is said that the Holy Ghost has come to glorify Jesus. The Holy Ghost, one of his responsibilities is to glorify Jesus. Is to take of him and show it unto us. Is to constantly remind us and inform us as to who Jesus is. As to continue to create in us the awareness of a Savior, the awareness of a Redeemer, the awareness of a Deliverer, to constantly remind us in our spirit that the man called Jesus is our Savior and our Deliverer and our friend, and we are to exercise faith in trusting him and serving him. And one of the ways, some of the ways in which the Holy Ghost would speak to us is that he would speak to us through the written word of God. As we would read our Bibles daily, the pages, the words coming off the pages are words that the Holy Ghost uses and refreshes our heart and to remind us about the goodness of Jesus. Another way in which he does it is through this, the preaching of God's word, even as I am doing it now, ministering to your heart, ministering. The Holy Ghost will use these line of information and convey a message to your heart as to the wonder and the greatness of our Savior Jesus. Another way in which he speaks to us is through songs. As somebody would minister to us in song, it touches our heart and it creates in us the sense of awareness of Jesus, his goodness and his love, his holiness, his righteousness. The Holy Ghost continue to speak to us as a safeguard against unbelief. And sometimes in the quietness of the night, he would speak to us. He would bring back things to our memory about the goodness of Jesus. And he continued to speak to our hearts as he continued to glorify Jesus. John 16:13 reminded us that he shall not speak when the Holy Ghost is come. He shall not speak of himself. The Holy Ghost don't have no intention of speaking of himself. His intention is to speak about Jesus.
Amen.
And I'd like the church to remember that as great as the Holy Ghost is, the third person of the Godhead, his intention is to put the floodlight upon Jesus, the Redeemer, the Mediator, the Author, the Finisher of our faith, so that we can be rooted and grounded in our service for him, so that unbelief will have no place in our heart. But instead, our faith will grow and become stronger and stronger based on the fact that we are constantly being reminded of Jesus through the voice of the Holy Ghost. chapter, puts in this safeguard here. He put it in, not only that we will remember the man called Jesus, but we will become stronger as we go forward. And there's a reason for this. Because he reminded us, he quoted from Psalms 95, where the children of Israel were on their journey in the wilderness for 40 years. They were there. For 40 years, they were there. And because of their approach to Almighty God, they did not enter into his rest as much as it was promised to them, because they allow unbelief. They allow unbelief to dictate their terms. And as a result of that, they walk away from the true and living God in their heart. And they introduce to them idols of different sorts. We are looking forward to a rest of the people of God. We are looking forward that this life at some point is going to come to an end. Despite all the challenges, we are looking that the time is going to come when, as Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, he declares, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That is our rest. That is what we are looking for as believers. And we cannot afford to let unbelief come in and spoil this opportunity and take away our future that lies in the man called Jesus. So the Holy Ghost is constantly reminding us, is constantly pointing us to the man called Jesus, so as we will dismiss unbelief from our heart, and God will be glorified. I read verse 12. And listen, let verse 12 sink in for a second here. That is Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, and I will come back to this just now. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. In departing from the living God. That last part there was quite deliberate on the part of the Holy Ghost in making this statement. Because what they were serving in the wilderness for the most part were dead gods. God of idol. Walking away from the living God. But we are one here that has a take heed. We need to listen to the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost continues to speak to us about Jesus. And speak to us in different ways. In our quiet time, he would bring back a song. In our quiet time, he would bring back a song. In our quiet time, sometimes you're surprised to hear somebody drop a word. If the Holy Ghost continue to speak forge entities to stay on track, exercising our faith in the Lord. And one of the reasons for this is that our heart can be hardened. Our heart can be hardened. Don't have the ability to feel the wooing of the Holy Ghost. We have to guard our heart from being hardened, believers. The apostle described it as being seared with a hot iron. If it is burnt, that scar is tough. And blood does not flow in there because the tissue is damaged. We have to protect our heart from this unbelief.
Yes.
So that our heart does not become hardened. And it's hard. We need to pay serious attention to it. Because, I mean, Jeremiah tells us that it is deceitful. It is desperate. And Jesus reminded his disciples of what it is that can come out of a heart that is full of unbelief. Listen to what he said in Mark chapter 7, verse 20 to 23. And he said, that is the Lord Jesus, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, perceive evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Adultery, fornication, murder, thief, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defiled the man, Jesus said. So you see, our hearts need to be guarded against unbelief and against all of these things that Jesus said come out of a heart that is not full of faith and a heart that is not trusting God. So, brethren, let us remember what the word said to us here, that the Holy Ghost is speaking to us, and this is one of the safeguards in order to guard our hearts from unbelief. I trust to God that we are listening to the voice of the Holy Ghost, and unbelief is having no place at all in our heart. Bless the Lord. The second safeguard that we see here from the Word of God is to be found in verse 9. And it says, that is Hebrews chapter 3, verse 9. When your father tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. The apostle made sure in his writing, he went back and said to all of us, look, while these people were entertaining unbelief in their heart, God continued to do good works in their midst. Prove me, God said. Watch and see my works. What is it that the Lord was doing? tells us, Exodus 15 tells us, that God provided food for them every single day in the form of manna, so that they would eat and be satisfied. And in that manna that he has provided is all the nutrients that one would want from the body. God provided that for them. That is God's work. The Bible also tells us that God provided them a place of shelter, somewhere to live in. The Bible tells us also that God provided them a tabernacle.
Yes.
For them to worship him. The Bible also tells us that God has shielded them from their enemies, which were many. They have fought many wars, and they came out victorious. The works of God. Prove me and saw my works, God said. Even within all of these works, the children of Israel were murmuring against God. They were rebelling in their hearts against God. They wanted something else. And as a result of that, their heart was not stayed on God. Not only that, God provided food for them. Not only that, God provided somewhere for them to live. Not only that, God provided somewhere for them to worship. Not only that, God protected them from their enemies, but God provided water for them. Even out of a rock, God has provided water so that they would drink and refresh themselves as they continue their journey through the wilderness. And I want to tell you something else that God did. God has preserved their clothing and their shoes for this 40 years. The word tells us here in Deuteronomy 29 that their clothes did not wear off, neither did their shoes wear off. God had miraculously protected them in that form, so that they did not lack anything at all. Yet in their heart, and seeing all of these miracles, they murmur against God. And God said, you shall not enter into my rest. How did God say? Therefore, in verse 10, God said, wherefore, I was grieved. This is what the Lord said here. I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Now who will that be here to show up? As we look on the safeguard of provision, God is still providing for you and me right now. I will admit that sometimes we would have loved to see things differently. But let's look on God as being sovereign. Let's look on God as somebody who knows everything, and somebody who knows where you live, and somebody who knows where I live, somebody who knows your address, somebody who knows my name, somebody who knows everything about us. And let us not enter into the folly as the children of Israel And their response to me, I swear in my heart that they should not enter into my rest. After they have seen the miracles of providing food daily, after they have seen the miracle of water spewing out of a rock, after they have seen the miracle of how much they conquer different enemies along the way, they still murmur in their heart, wanting to go back to Egypt. After God has provided them a rest. Believers, are we making the same mistake as the children of Israel? Are we murmuring to the point where we are grieving God? Are we at a place where, yes, we can look, we talk about current events, of course we do. But are we at a point where our faith has now started to wane? And unbelief starting to get a foothold. Are we there? I want to say to us, the safeguard of the apostle pointing to us what had happened in the past, what God did in the past, the provision that God had made in the past for these people. The same God who did that, he can do the same thing for us today. For he has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God of his provision, which was in the past, we need to keep right in front of us that the same God who did that for them is able to satisfy my needs today so that I can maintain a true relationship with my God, and my faith will remain strong in him. There's no place right now for unbelief. The Bible describes it as evil. In fact, it is linked to the evil of witchcraft, according to 1 Samuel. But I am saying to the church, guard your heart from unbelief. Mark 8:9 told us that this man brought his son to his disciples, to Jesus' disciples, for him to be healed. And they could not. But when Jesus came to off the mount, the man rushed to Jesus and said, I brought my son to the disciples, they could not heal him. But if you can do anything, what a statement. And Jesus turned it back, realizing what the man had just said, and turned it back on him and said, if you believe, all things are possible. Turn it back on him. The man said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Help thou. The problem that I have right here, Lord, is unbelief. The problem I am encountering now is unbelief. That is what is creating my problem. I cannot bring myself to the place where I can see this young man old again, functioning right, doing the things that he's supposed to do because of the nature of his illness. Unbelief is blocking me. I beg you, help my unbelief. sometimes our faith, we do have faith, but our faith has become weak. And that man plea can be considered our plea as well. I want to believe, but my unbelief is getting in my way. The church at times faces challenges. The individual believer at times faces challenges. And the challenges from believer to believer varies. Your challenge might not necessarily be mine. But believe me, all of us are going to face persecution. All of us are going to face distress based on what the word said. And in those moments, will our faith hold? In those moments, will our faith hold? I want to believe I'm going to be delivered, but my unbelief is getting the better of me. The safeguard that we have here in this section is what God has done. And if he did it before, he cannot do it again. Amen, church. We need to guard our heart from unbelief. It is a dangerous thing, and it can deprive us of our rest, as it did with the children of Israel. And the final safeguard that we see here from the Word of God is to be found in verse 13. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. It reads like this: but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Let me read that again. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. But exhort one another daily. This is where it says, iron sharpeneth iron. My brother, my sister, we are to encourage one another in this faith. Yes, I know that some of us are not good on the telephone. Some of us don't really good in using the telephone. Sometimes it's one of the most difficult things to make a call. I know that. I know that. And then, like how we are not meeting in four walls, that makes it even more difficult because we are not seeing each other two times per week. But my God, we got to find some way of doing it. The Bible requires it. The Bible said that we should do it. We should exhort one another daily. Provoke one another in love. Talk to one another. You know, the blessing of this church, the blessing of this church here, is we have a group of sisters inside of this church. Who it's only when we're having meetings that night that they are not locked in at 12 o'clock at night. Sometime when I came home from work at 12 o'clock, I heard a prayer service going on. Locked in there, talking to God on behalf doing in that effort is that we are guarding our hearts from unbelief. We are building up our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't know how we're going to do it. Those of us who don't really like the phone have to get on the phone. We have to start to call around to the believers. I must tell you the honest truth. I don't think I'm really blessed in that department. But I will have to do it. When I read this, when I read this here, what exhort one another daily. It is a safeguard. Dismissing unbelief from our hearts. I realize that I need to talk to my brother. 2 days, 3 days, 4 weeks pass. I've not spoken to my brother, my sister. I need to get back there. Use that telephone. If you call, they didn't answer, that's one thing. That's okay. But at least somebody must make an effort. We have to exhort. We have to encourage. We have to lift up our brother and our sister in the Lord and tell them that they must hold on. Things are difficult, but hold on and maintain that relationship with God and don't let error develop in their heart. That's what the Bible said here. They are in their hearts. So unbelief crept in and stayed there and deprived them of their rest. Of all the people that came out of Egypt, hundreds of thousands of them that came out of Egypt, it is only two made it to the promised land. One, two of all those thousands of people. Every one of them died in the wilderness because of unbelief. They did not enter their rest, the rest that God had promised to them, because they allow unbelief to occupy their heart. And in so doing, they erred against God. And as we read, the word said God was displeased with them. So we find the apostle writing to the believers, the Jewish believers, whose faith has grown weak. And as he wrote to them, he introduced these three safeguards. That if they are followed, unbelief will have no place in our heart. But instead, faith will grow. And we will look forward to the calling of our Lord and Savior Jesus. That when he comes, we will be with him eternally. Because we would have entered into our rest.
Amen.
I say to the believers today that God did not just save us and take us out at the same time to make it safe. But God save us and keep us here into this sinful world that we might make a difference. We might make a difference being here as we witness, as we encourage, as we exhort our brothers and sisters to remain steadfast and firm in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we have a responsibility here. And then the Bible makes it plain that not only that we should exhort one another daily, but while it is called today. Yes, what you did yesterday was good. And we're not too talking about tomorrow yet. But today, today, have I spoken to one person in the church? Today, not necessarily in the church, but a believer that I know somewhere. Today, to encourage them to stand up for your conviction. We are to encourage one another. And I just read to you a portion of scripture here to show you that this was written for our example. This was written for our example. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 6. All of what you have just heard was written for our example. All right, verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now these things were our example. I don't know if you see that in your Bible. But it says, now these things were our example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. This they here mean the children of Israel. The apostle is now referring to the children of Israel. What brought about their downfall? He is referring us back to them and says, this section was written for our example that we don't fall in the same trap. Verse 7 says, neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed. And fell in one day 320,000 as a result of this fornication. Thousands of people died. And it is not only physical fornication, but it is also spiritual fornication. By engaging in idol with the true and living God. Verse 9 said, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted him, and were destroyed of the serpent. You remember that very well. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man shall be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. People were dying as a result of their sin. But Moses lifted up a brazen image of a serpent and said, this represents the crucified Lord. If you look on the serpent, you shall be healed. And verse 10 said, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and was destroyed of the destroyer. This comes very close to home. This statement here comes very close to home. Don't murmur, said the word of God. Don't murmur. They murmured in the wilderness. And they lost out in the end as a result of that. And verse 11, the Holy Spirit would have it, that it is so important that he repeats it. Verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for example. Speaking to the same thing as example. And they were written for our admonition upon whom the end of the world are come. You and I here are living in the last day, last and final days of this dispensation. And I'm saying to us that it is an up upon us that the end of the world is come. Let us hold fast and let us not fall in the trap like what we have seen here, because the apostle went to the length to explain to us what has crept up in their heart and how it was that they had failed God by the error of their heart, and they lost out on the promise that God had made for them so that they could not inherit the rest that God had in store for them. But for you and me, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. And we are not going to let unbelief spoil our opportunity, our chance to enter into that rest. So I'm saying to the brethren today, right here and now, let's guard our heart from unbelief by using the safeguards of the scripture. And there's a word also. There's a word also here for the unbeliever. Those of you who have never committed your life to the Lord, if you go back to John 16, it will tell you that when he, the Holy Ghost, is come, he shall reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The Holy Ghost is speaking to the unsaved man and woman even right now. And he's speaking about the goodness of Jesus. He's speaking about the grace of God. He's speaking about how you can be saved from the wrath to come. And you can enter into this rest that we are anticipating as believers. The Holy Ghost was given the responsibility to not only encourage the believer, but also to speak to the unseen, recruiting them for the kingdom. I don't know if you are here today and you have never accepted the Lord as Savior. Or probably you did. And you allow unbelief to creep back in. Bless the Lord. You are, His mercy is still pouring out on you. You are still here with us. And you can use this moment to flush out unbelief and let faith take its place so that we can look forward to the rest that He has provided for us. The Lord said, if you today have heard His word, His voice, harden not your heart. I trust your heart is not hardened right now, but instead, you are willing to give the Holy Ghost a chance to make a difference in your life. Shall we pray? Father, we worship you. The way you go about your business baffles us at all times.
Yes.
And we realize, Lord God, that whatever it is that you do, you have done it in our interest. We glorify you this day, and we worship you. Wherever we are, whatever it is that we are doing now, our heart focus upon you. And we want to say, thanks, Lord, for remembering us. You remember us in our low estate. You remember us despite our presumptuousness before you. And God, we thank you that you're a God of mercy. And you want to flush out unbelief from out of our hearts. And you want to build up faith so that we can please you. Without faith, it is impossible to please you. For the brethren in the church, give us the ability to encourage one another in you. Help us to find ways to communicate with one another. To even say, hi, the Lord loves you. To make a text, to make a call, to make an inquiry. Oh God, as we support one another in this endeavor, knowing that we are all in this together. God, help us that we will not err in our hearts as we sin against you, but instead we will continue as the Holy Ghost continues to talk to us. We will continue to praise your name. We will continue to glorify you. We will continue to sing and make melody in our hearts unto you. For our friends who have not known you, in the sense that we do, but willing to start again, those who have altered because of unbelief. And for those who have never made that commitment, God, we pray that you will show mercy even now. Show mercy right now. The man said, hey, no, my unbelief. We pray, God, that you will help the unbelief of our friends, so that they will take hold of you through faith and they will find the deliverance that comes only through you. There are going to be challenges, we know, Lord, but you are always there to help us, just like how you stood by your word and provide everything that was necessary for the children of Israel, despite the fact that their heart was out of line with you. We look to you today and we pray, God, that you will work on our heart, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to speak to us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the blessed Holy Spirit, we pray.